Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 550. We had to post there, Mitch. Mitch on the other side of the Zoom, Charlie here with you. We're going to talk about how the Milwaukee Bucks win the series and how they lose, and how they will lose. Both sides of the coin, get you ready for game six. We're also going to talk about Brewers Cubs. Does it actually matter to the players on the field? No, it'll matter to those in watching the games this weekend. And then lastly, we'll talk about if any expectations change for the Packers after the draft. What are the expectations? Before we get going, a man who is kind enough to grace us with his presence before he goes out on his Midwestern tour, it is Mitch Ross, bassist of Garden Home. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Doing good. Just, getting ready to – it's the calm before the storm,
the night before
the Last Supper. It's kind of my last night of, I guess, normalcy before it's like 4 or 5 days with, you know, no responsibilities, waking up one place, driving to the next, and you know, pretty much nonstop for 4 days. It'll probably go a lot quicker than like I'm thinking, and I'll probably forget something stupid, and you know, the packing has just initially started as of right now, but it ain't gonna be, you know, I'm not dressing for a wedding or like anything like that, so it's pretty much just ball shit up and
yep,
let's roll out. So
absolutely. Check out Garden Home WI on Instagram if you want to follow along of where they are. If you're in the areas, what, Chicago, St. Louis,
yeah,
Tulsa.
Chicago, St. Louis, and Tulsa for a festival, which we're getting like a daytime slot for that. And then Kansas City on Sunday.
Okay.
And hey, I've been to Chicago, obviously, a few times, but the latter three I have never been to. So
Mahomes, maybe hanging out.
You never know.
Noted fan, Garden Home.
Yeah, maybe Patty Mahomes will be coming through, but I'll try to get a picture of Arrowhead Stadium potentially.
It's too bad you guys have a gig on Monday because the Brewers are in town.
Yeah,
they're playing the Royals. I think Monday, Wednesday.
That's a massive game.
Yeah, tickets will be hard to come by. Although Royals are playing all right. Royals aren't terrible this year. Royals baseball, catch the fever. Speaking of catching the fever, I feel like spirits are higher, elevated, after a dominating game 5 win by the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 6 tonight, 5:30. I'm gonna try to have this up as quick as we can, so you guys have ample time to listen to this podcast. Before we get started on game 6 and the pathway through to the reverse Doc Rivers, I guess, Mitch, you know, a couple of quick thoughts on game 5 and just what were your vibes going into it? Like, did you feel confident in it? Do you think it was a Viking funeral where you're like, just kind of like the Heat tonight where it was like, all right, the ships are going to burn and this is over? Or did you have an ounce of confidence where you're like, I think these guys can do it?
Well, I had about the same way. Well, I mean, first of all, we had planned on doing a postmortem podcast. So
let's be fair. We said both sides. We're like, if they lose, we'll do an exit interview. We've done that before. And then I did say if they did win, we'll talk about, you know, the ramifications and things like
if
that.
If we really want to be fair, I'm the one who said postmortem, and you didn't really push back, surprisingly. So I think I said that on like Monday, and yep, I was like, we might as well wait for that. And wasn't to be. Confidence is a tricky term in the game. I think it's more like it pretty much was the same as game 4. It's like, again, the pressure's all on them. Like, we are a mash unit, and it is a team that already doesn't have a ton of depth, and you pretty much got to have what happened in game 5, where Bobby didn't get ejected, thankfully, surprisingly, and came out and starred in his role, as they say, and you got contributions from some unlikely places, Patrick Beverley and Malik Beasley showed up for once.
Yep.
Gallinari had a couple buckets, and he should never be playing.
Hey man, he was plus 15. I mean, you can't deny that Gallo was weirdly effective in the minutes he played.
Yeah. I mean they were able to slow down Indiana after the first quarter, where it looked like Indiana was just gonna, you know. You talked to me at the end of the first quarter, I would have said it's over.
Right. They had the magnet ball, and you're like, really? They're just gonna shoot, you know, lights out the rest of the way here. And then Bucks made some adjustments. They really, you know, committed to stopping the three, and Indiana just couldn't. They couldn't keep up. They couldn't keep up, and they went. I think I had the stat on yesterday's pod. They were 7-12 to start, and then they finished 5-26. Like, that's really bad. And
two or three of those were in garbage time. I mean,
right. And I did feel like, and it was very interesting, you know, to watch Chris Middleton kind of wave off Doc Rivers when he has four fouls with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter, basically like signaling to Doc. And Greg Anthony pointed it out. I think Greg Anthony actually talks sometimes too much, but I think ultimately does a good job. Was like Middleton saying that because he thinks that, you know, they can kind of land the final punch. And sure enough, they did. And Middleton didn't end up fouling the rest of the game, because there was like a second there in the third quarter where I was like, oh, we're a little bit in foul trouble here, guys. But now it's game six. The pressure is still on Indiana. I'd argue the pressure has grown now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because this Bucks team, who is still a MASH unit and basically has said, all right, now we have the playbook. We know how to beat these guys with this group of guys. And I think, you know, once you win one, you know, it's the Kevin Millar quote, don't let us win one. And it's like, even though the Bucks had already won one, they did that with Dame. Now they've won one without Dame and Giannis. The sky's kind of the limit. Chris Middleton is on another fucking planet right now. Bobby Portis seemed to unlock some things against Pascal Siakam. But there is still the chance, even though they're doubtful, that Giannis and Dame could play. And Mitch, I'm going to welcome in a Chuck Trischler theory. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, hit me with it.
I think they purposely said that they're doubtful to not give Indiana anything, to kind of play coy, and to kind of lessen the hype heading into the game. Because if they had noted like they're questionable, everybody would assume that they'll play. Everyone would assume, okay, that means Giannis and Dame are playing. We would talk about it on the show today. But by keeping them doubtful, take them through the early workouts, make the evaluation, and then go. And then you're not beholden to, well, we upgraded them, so now we're going to say they're playing in this game. Just because they're doubtful doesn't mean that they're out for the game. It's likely they're out. But my theory is they're holding back just in case the workouts don't go well in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So thoughts? I have two questions based off that.
Yeah. I'm all ears.
First one, and the biggest one would be, how is that any different than any game in the series? So you're telling me that you think that because now there's scuttlebutt out there,
yes,
that there's people claiming to have sources.
I mean, Justin Garcia. He's not anybody, like, former boss of mine back in the day, but I mean, he's not like a complete nobody, you know?
Right. No, that's true. There's a little more hype. I mean, I would appreciate that if they did, you know, I mean, doing what they're doing there with just, you know, don't let anyone get their hopes up. I mean, that's kind of
what I'm thinking they're doing, is like, it's a little different because there are murmurs, right? The TNT broadcast, Stephanie Reddy had that and said they think, and then Doc almost like weirdly froze in the postgame presser when they asked him about it, almost like a kid who didn't want to admit that he fucked something up. Like, Doc didn't want to say anything and was like, oh, they're very, very close. And I think
I saw
they
that.
just
I
they
mean,
just they want
it could
the
have been that, or it could have been that, or he's just really tired of answering the questions.
probably. I mean, that's also fair. I mean, and
Because
yes.
he probably has to produce an answer when, like, it's really not up to him.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, this isn't 1970 where, like, you know, there's teams pour millions of dollars into treatment and training and strength staff, and it's kind of more up to them and probably the front office than it is Doc Rivers. And I mean, he said that on podcasts when it comes to injuries. I think Simmons had him on when, you know, when he was still out on the streets, and they talked about the Embiid stuff last year in the playoffs. And I think Doc was also referencing regular season, where it's like, you know, I walk in for practice or shoot around, and you know, half the team can't practice or whatever, and he has no idea until, like, and you just kind of roll with it. So yeah, I mean, he probably, you know, he might have. I mean, it's possible. I mean, that's been, I think the whole series has been, they don't want to say they're out, right?
Right.
Because they don't want to, first of all, give Indiana, you know, that extra edge. You know, that's a
Right.
huge thing in sports. We talk about it in football a lot, where, you know, you don't want to say anything or show anything, or that you don't have to. So that's part of it. And you know, I mean, they also, yeah, they don't want to ruin team morale, you know, and they want to kind of keep the glimmer of hope, you know, the embers of the fire a little bit going. But you know, in reality, they're probably not playing in game six. I mean, I don't know. Like, at this point, like, I know it's
Yeah,
funny. I sat here 2 weeks ago and said, "Well, I'm assuming Giannis is playing game one," until he's
right.
ruled out, and it's every game, and they've been kind of doing this, and it's like, I don't know. Like, and as far as people that think like the team lied, you know, and stuff, and it's like, you're damn right they did. Like, I mean, it's in terms of like the severity of Giannis's injury,
Yeah, they didn't want to
like.
give they didn't want to give anything away. Like they didn't want to give anything away. And they didn't want to make it a known entity that Giannis was going to miss the entire round one. And so, yeah, I would assume for the sake of the segment, let's assume they're not going to be back. And I think really to kick off how they win, at least game six is just make sure that Indiana doesn't come out hot. Like, keep it. You don't have to lead. You don't even have to be within a bucket. You can be down five or six, but don't let Indiana just overwhelm you. And all of a sudden, they're up 15, and basically you're playing comeback mode to start the game, and you're trying to claw back it on the road with a fan base that hasn't seen Indiana advance the second round since 2014.
Yeah, I mean, in game four, they did, I guess, a decent job. I'm trying to think. Well,
Yeah, no, it
game
was close.
three,
It was tied. It
game
was
three, they were
tied.
getting smoked after the first quarter, and then
Right.
they came back and ended up winning
Right.
overtime. So
Right. Game
they've kind
three.
of done it both ways on the road so
Right.
far.
Right. They haven't been consistent in the first quarter, and what they need in this one is to really just sort of, make sure that this kind of they keep it close. That they don't need to have the lead. They don't even need to be like down two, but in that fourth game, it was, I think, it's high ball game at half after that first quarter, even though Indiana was shooting the lights out. It was 33-33, and then it was 34. They were only down three at half, and everyone was like, oh my God, like they have a real shot here. And then the third quarter happened where they get outscored by 10 points, and then that was kind of it. And as we've talked about, the margin of error is very slim for this Bucks team, but it'll be different than it was in game five because you have Bobby Portis. I think that's another way they win this game is can Bobby deliver on the road? He is a different player away from Fiserv Forum. Can he actually deliver on the road, for once in his life?
And that's what scares me is, like,
Oh, totally.
you have basically all role players out there. I know Middleton has served well as the star of the team, you know, the focal point. But you're probably not getting that from Beasley again. You know, Portis, maybe he keeps his head screwed on, and, you know, can get, I mean, he's, you know, obviously we all know like how much of a flame, not a flamethrower, but like a microwave type guy he is. I mean, once he gets going, he can pile up buckets pretty quickly. But those are typically home games. So, you know, if he can give you around 20, you know, that's okay. You know, I think that's fair. To call for 30 would be, I think, asking a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're probably going to need, you know, obviously 30 plus from Middleton, if not 40 again. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, you know, they've shown an ability to kind of hang around. I mean, again, game three in Indiana, they weathered the storm and, yeah, hit a few lucky shots, but they also had Dame in that game.
Right.
A hobbled one, you know, in the
and
second half.
And he had a big second half, and that was, part of it, and then the body just kind of gave out after that. But yeah,
in game four, they kind of played like a pretty good game. It's just that Indiana, you know, shot the lights out, and you know, it was a shooting variance game, and you saw that change in game five in Milwaukee. And you just, I guess, got to figure out a way to limit some threes and give yourself a little better chance, because they just couldn't get over the hump in game four because of that shooting. And
yeah,
they were able to get over the hump and then some in game five. So clearly that's a huge factor.
I'll also add, you know, in terms of ways to win, is you actually, like, I know this is John Madden, but you got to hit some threes. They only hit 12 threes in that game four without, you know, Giannis and Dame. And really, it was just Middleton or Beasley and Lopez. Beasley hit four, Lopez hit three. Middleton was 0 of 4, even though he had 25 points in that game. You know, AJ Green, I guess, hit two, but I would assume those were garbage time. Oh, Andre Jackson hit two, too. But like 12 for 33, when you get outscored in the 3-point line by 10 plus, it's not going to get it done. So I don't expect that again, but you gotta position yourself that if you're going, you know, they're going to make more threes just naturally because they're at home. They're comfortable here. How do you counteract that? Is it taking the air out of the ball? Is it shooting?
Yeah.
Is it shooting more threes? Is it getting to the foul line to kind of throw them off their rhythm and forcing the refs to call things? Now, granted, I don't expect the whistle to be great, being that's at Indiana, but you never know. You know, the league could call it in and be like, well, we don't have Steph, we don't have KD, we don't have LeBron. First time that's happened since 2005. We're kind of fucked if Giannis and Dame aren't in this thing in the second round. And don't think Adam Silver hasn't had that conversation.
Yeah, it may have crossed his mind for sure. That crossed my mind. Like, you know, we got the Scott Foster legacy game.
Yeah,
the
extender.
The Bucks had conveniently, I think, like 10 more free throws attempts than Indiana.
Sure did, Mitch.
Which is nice. It probably didn't matter at the end of the day, but you know, I've watched enough basketball playoff games, certainly recently, where fouls and stuff can, you know, you can look at the foul numbers, but at the end of the game, but within the game, you know, certain fouls are bigger than others and stuff like that. So, you know, to have 10 more free throws is not nothing, definitely.
Right.
But I think, as far as I honestly think mucking it up is pretty much their only hope. I do not want to do anything to get in a track meet, and that includes taking more threes. I think you know, it's got to be Badger ball. I mean, that's especially on the road.
Yeah, you have to try to. And the other thing about taking the air out of the ball is it silences the fans. The fans just can't necessarily get going because it's a choppy sort of feeling. Like, you're not necessarily like go, go, go. And so, yeah, that's a fair challenge that you gotta muck it up, and you gotta.
Like, I would rather have Chris Middleton, Tough Shot Express with 2 seconds left in the shot clock every possession, you know,
Yeah.
then 45 threes.
Then a Brook Lopez like first touch 3-pointer. Yeah,
Yeah.
I probably agree with that. Any other reason? Any other ways they win, you know, this game or the series? I will say if they go back for game seven, Giannis or Dame playing that place on a Saturday, likely late afternoon, is going to be an absolute nut house, and that will be a lot for a young Indiana team.
Yeah. I mean, if certainly if they find a way to win in game six, you know, it probably would still be Giannis and Dame doubtful. I bet.
Yep.
I mean,
No, they wouldn't.
We just don't have the time. You know, we don't have time on our side when it comes to that shit.
No.
I mean, we kind of got fucked in the series, I feel like, with, you know, the extra travel days not happening in the
Right.
latter part of the series, where, you know, if you would have, if you'd have given us an extra day in between for travel days, but you know, they gotta, I understand the playoffs are already 2 months long as it is, and it is what it is. Everybody's a professional. So, you know, you gotta find a way to get it done. I mean, maybe more Andre Jackson than I, you know, you didn't really see that much of him in the, in game
No.
five. And
No.
I feel like maybe he could feed off the road crowd in a way. Like, he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, man.
And he was actually minus seven.
Yeah, he seemed tight. I mean, he was in that first quarter rotation. He only had one turnover, but it felt like he had four. Like, he made some errant passes. It just seemed like the game was a little too big for him. Now, maybe on the road, you're a little more relaxed. We'll see. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do infuse a little more of the Andre Jackson experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think he's got kind of the defensive versatility that you kind of want. So,
right. Yeah, I think especially when you have a team who's been really good at three, and AJ Green and Andre Jackson Jr. in game three did a really good job of defending the 3-point line and defending Indiana in general. I think Indiana was like 1 of 14 when either of them guarded the players. Like, I'd get them out there and I'd get them guarding the perimeter and making sure that if Indiana's scoring, it's inside. And I think there will be an emphasis to try to get to the paint. Indiana was the biggest paint touch or points in the paint team let you know the year prior or this year, and they really didn't do that in game five, and I
Yeah,
expect that to be
I heard that on today. It was being discussed a little, and I mean, they just scored a lot of points in general. So I mean,
right, yeah, that's fair.
I
see what you're going. It's a little fraud. It's a touch fraudulent.
Yeah, I mean, just like, of course they're number one. Like, they were number one offense in the league. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's not like it's their specialty. I wouldn't argue.
No, that's totally fair. And I guess if we're going on the negative side, the way that this ends tonight, and that this is our last Bucks basketball experience of the year, I think the number one thing is if Tyrese Haliburton gets going, and he just looks like an all-star, and he looks like it's his moment. We've seen Tyrese step up, you know, hit the game three, the clutch shot. He didn't really have a good game in game
and
three.
He's hulking out on a
right.
G League Bucks team.
Yeah, front runner Tyrese, FRT, as we're gonna call him here. Yeah, if he starts to get going, pardon me. If he starts to get going, yeah, it's not gonna be good. And that will the wheels start going downhill, I think, kind of in that same conversation is, you know, we talked about the pace, but if Indiana regains sort of that pace, it's going to be really tough for Milwaukee to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly they're just not going to have the horses. I mean, you could argue
No.
that's kind of what happened in game four. I
Right.
mean, again, you know, the Bucks were able to keep it kind of within arm's length and maintain contact, as Marcus Johnson likes to say, a little bit. Like, every time they got it to, what was it, like 6 or 8, Indiana
Yep.
would hit two fucking threes, and then
Right.
it'd be, you know, and it would be back up to 14. And
Right.
clearly you got to avoid stuff like that. But like that's what happens. I mean, it's basketball, and there's good shooters out there, and it's hard to stop them at all, all the time. But I mean, the way they performed in game five gives you a little bit of hope. I mean, the Bucks are going to be a little more confident. I mean, they were able to snap the skid and pick themselves off the mat a little bit and have a little pride, and that was good to see. But we'll see what happens on the road.
And I think, the other thing too is, if Siakam gets going again, Doc Rivers has done a great job in terms of his adjustments to P Pascal Siakam. It's a welcome change to not let a guy go the fuck off for an entire series. Shout out Mike Budenholzer. So it's welcome that a guy has, kind of slowed down after
Yeah.
two hot games.
Well, and
If
one thing they did in game five was like defensively, they just like really kind of randomized everything, right? Like they put like Middleton on Turner, which is a matchup I've kind of wanted to try, just because Turner is, I mean, God love him, is about as soft as they come. And he's got a sneaky decent inside like offensive post set and of skills. They're not going to use it in the NBA in 2024 as much, but I feel like just defensively, like you saw it in the first game in game five, like Brooklyn right fucking by him. I mean, I mean, there's no way he's faster than Miles Turner. So that just to me was like, he don't want the smoke down there. So,
Oh, no question about it.
and I think he can be mitigated. Middleton's big enough that he can get under him and quick enough to stay with him on his pick and pops.
The last thing I had, and this is not related win or loss, but is there any lemon booty situation with Rick Carlisle? I didn't realize that Rick Carlisle hasn't won a series since 2011 or 2010. He hasn't won since the Mavericks won the title. He's lost in the first round every time out since then. And I felt like, and you could say, well, Charlie, he was just looking for the right combinations. But I felt like he was almost panicking in the third quarter with like the Isaiah Jackson move, where Isaiah Jackson hasn't fucking played this entire series, and now you're bringing in Isaiah Jackson in game five as the sort of, oh, this is our difference maker. And he just kept rotating guys in and out, and it just seemed like it was a little bit frantic, almost a little cocaine chaos instead of just like, all right, it was more hockey like line shifts instead of, sticking with a rotation that works. I'm just wondering out loud, is that something to think about, even though Doc Rivers is the guy that gets all the smoke?
It's certainly not ideal, but to be playing that many player, that's when things aren't going very well. But I mean, as you say that, I was thinking, well, the Bucks played 11 guys too, I think, in game four.
But if
And
Giannis and Dame are there,
or right, but we're
they're
also not
playing
healthy,
eight.
so
They're playing an eight man probably. They're playing probably three guys off the bench. I think the other big thing from game five that we haven't touched on is no Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder DNP'd, and that was a great thing. Jay just look, take you gotta take the L. And Jay Crowder's been terrible. And I felt like he played a large part in why that fourth, they kind of were starting to fight back in the fourth quarter in game four. And then Crowder and Connaughton were in, and they were both dog shit. And thankfully, Pat Connaughton finally came to life. Sneakily, it leaks out that he has a calf strain too. And so it's like, oh, Pat Connaughton's
Oh,
actually
they're
hurt.
contagious.
Right, exactly. So it's like, well, I do think, like, in all seriousness, I know the Bucks training staff has been pretty good, but you got to take a long look at this training staff going forward and just understand, like, all right, what's going on here? Is this the players aren't talking to you? Is this you're listening to the players too much? Like, how can we prevent this from happening again? I mean, I don't know if they'll make a move, but you saw, Matt LaFleur fired the entire strength and
I
conditioning
was going to
coach.
say that is this now the Packers hamstring injuries?
A little bit. I mean, it's starting to feel that way, isn't it?
I mean, People are starting to get sick of John Horst and Suki. Like, the empire is fucking crumbling here. This is like,
Oh, well,
what is going on?
listen, we can talk about the John Horse thing.
If you want to jump off the Titanic with me, if you want to jump off the Titanic, you
No,
go right ahead.
look, Suki's done a great job with Giannis Antetokounmpo and injury management. I think Giannis's thing is more about Giannis getting older and not realizing that he has to take better care of his body and playing more minutes and just add it up. I think that's more of what it is. And I think because we had Adrian
Yeah.
Griffin as the fucking coach and we were fucking around with goddamn Detroit, Giannis had so much more mileage on the tires when he should have been sitting after 25 minutes. So, and I haven't heard one person, because of course we always want to make fun of Doc Rivers and, oh, Bucks are, under 500 with Doc Rivers. No one pointed out that Adrian Griffin, like the amount of mileage that was added on because of Adrian Griffin's incompetence is just, it has to be recognized. It has to be talked about.
Yeah, I mean
And
that's for sure. Like, just this I mean, we can't win, right? Like, it's
no.
like you want everybody to play in the regular season. You want the regular season to matter. You want to play a minimum games and a minimum minutes, and I do too. And then here we are. Now, like,
Yep.
it's there's two star players are hurt, and like, it's really hard to blame all the the regular season. But I think I was listening to Bart's podcast, and he was like, does the now the regular season really doesn't matter, because like your fucking two best players are hurt. It's
Yeah,
like,
no, it's, I
you
mean,
played
it's
82
fair.
games for nothing.
Right. And I think the thought on Horst, I think with John Horst, what I had a problem with the Kevin O'Connor thing is it looked like he just gave Kevin O'Connor what to write. Like he just basically was like, here's some cliff notes. Just clean it up, make it sound like your own thing. Because there was no accountability of like, hey, you gave 5 second round picks for Jay Crowder. For a washed-up player, five. You
Yeah.
didn't think to like where is the Ben Shepherd, right? Who is on Indiana? Where is the guy, the under the radar guy that just I realize these guys don't grow on trees, but to not even have like one to kind of reference in the Giannis era is I guess AJ Green is the one, but like that's it. You don't have it, and Marjon Beauchamp. Incredible disappointment. He cares more about Instagram than he does like actually playing basketball. And so it's like that's your really your only first round pick, and it's been a failure. And
Yeah,
so
they have not been able to draft well, that's for sure.
no.
And it's been a limited sample size just because of
Sure.
the situation that we've been in the last five, six, basically really since Horst took over. I mean,
Right.
Horst took over in the at the tail end of the Kidd era, which was, the Dark Ages. And but then he took DJ Wilson
Yep.
and
Over OG Anunoby, who did have health issues. I mean, fair enough, but
yeah.
you think about OG Anunoby on this fucking team.
I kind
And
of I hate playing that game, but then when you look at
oh yeah,
of over
it's
but
bad.
when you look at over 6 or 8 years of data, and it's like, we couldn't scoop one of those people.
Yeah,
But then
right,
again, like,
exactly.
you say that, and it's like, you can't keep all of them either, so it's hard to, like,
Listen, if John Horst stays or whoever takes over that role, I would just draft whoever's on UConn, whoever played for UConn, and in my with my pick, like take Alex Caravan, like I don't care,
yeah.
like just
I can
take,
find that.
just take a UConn player. I
Here's the
did
deal.
see,
The Bucks have both their picks this year. So,
yeah,
I
would,
mean, I almost think that, I hate saying it, but you probably have to use them.
oh yeah, I saw my guy Shafty floated out that he's like nothing would be funnier than Doc becoming the director of basketball operations and stepping down, and then Darvin Ham takes over as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I would rather not have Doc be involved in the front office personally.
I agree. I agree. I would prefer that not to be the situation. But when he said that, I got a little chill down my spine because I was like, oh, that sounds way too close. That sounds way too close for comfort. But we'll worry about that another day. Mitch, do you think we're going game seven or you think the Bucks will lose tonight?
It's probably going to be pretty hard to win. I mean, it's just,
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, I think
They
they're.
played every game at home, I'd say, at game
Yeah.
seven,
Yeah.
but.
I think I'm pretty sure. So right now, well, so this is interesting. The line is falling a little bit. It started out
Eight and a half,
Indiana
right?
minus 9.5, and it's now
Oh,
down
wow.
to 8. So it's coming down hard, which is not nothing, right? But yeah, I think the Buck, I'm the optimist in me says they'll find a way, but it's they're gonna need everything to work out in their favor, and they're gonna need to avoid the magnet ball. I hate this Indiana team so goddamn much, and nothing would make me happier than to pull a reverse Doc Rivers and win this fucking series.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, honestly, that would be amazing.
Because if they don't, Big East Chuck is coming out for if it's Knicks Pacers. Big East Chuck is getting right on the Knicks bandwagon for at least a round. And then if it's Knicks Celtics, I just cheer for Hamas. I don't cheer for anybody at that point.
Really? I would
No.
probably cheer for the Knicks.
I would cheer for the Knicks, but I just the Knicks fans are so fucking annoying.
Well, yeah.
Stephen A is already talking about like getting Devin Booker on team. That's gonna be the funniest thing is the Knicks are gonna blow up their team culture because
I know. I
they're
said
gonna
that to Murph. I said that to Murph when I was meeting the young king, the other night, and we were sitting there watching a game, kinda, and I was like, "Yeah, the Knicks. This is hilarious because the Knicks want nothing more than to have a superstar, and they're gonna like trade basically the backbone of their team." They're gonna do it. They're gonna pull Lakers, right? Like it's
Right.
like you trade your three best role players for a star and wonder why, you can't get a fucking stop.
Right. Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to the Milwaukee Brewers, unless you had any other Bucks things to cover.
No,
Felt like we covered a
we went
lot.
really long there, so.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we'll tighten it up. The Milwaukee Brewers had quite the interesting week. Just ref drama or umpire drama all week. They almost got unscathed last night, and then Thiago Vieira had to change his glove in the ninth inning for God knows what reason. After he had worn the same glove the night before, don't really understand it. I swear they were kind of just doing it to fuck with us. Devin Williams got a little mouthy on the bench apparently. I don't think he got kicked out, but he was chirping at people. And now they have the Chicago Cubs. It will be managed by Ricky Weeks on Friday. I'll be in the building for that matchup. I think I'm getting Joe Ross, which, nothing excites me more than getting to watch Joe Ross in person.
I
But
mean,
this
Colin Ray is like Mike Mussina
dude,
compared to
here's the
Joe
thing.
Ross,
As
so.
I said in the review today, Colin Ray is not sexy. There's nothing sexy about Colin Ray. Colin Ray is as plain as the day is long.
Oh yeah.
That said, he
He's
is a
from
golf.
Iowa too, which is
He's
perfect.
oh yeah, he's a hayseed, but probably chews like Copenhagen straight. Like he doesn't even chew, like he doesn't flavor it. It's just Cope straight, long cut. That's all Colin Ray does. And he's a dog though, because he gets outs. And that's all he's there. He's there to kick ass and get outs, and he's all out of kicking ass.
Yeah. So, but I don't
Awesome.
really, he's not really like a, he, to me, he's not like a tough guy. He's not like
No,
a
he isn't.
psycho.
No, I know. I'm just calling him a dog just because I can't, kind of McAfee-esque.
Like Max Scherzer's a dog.
Oh, yeah, Max Scherzer's dog. Yeah, he's like, Abner Ribe dog. Abner now set down to Nashville. It's tough. It's a tough scene. But I did hear per sources he paid his rent, so that's good. Glad he's keeping up with his rent payments. I don't know if you heard that story from Shaken,
No,
but
I did not.
friend of friend basically is managing a property that Abner Ribe is living in this year.
Paid his rent, that's good.
Yeah, took care of business, but he's now headed to Nashville. And so, yeah, it's been a wild week, but the Brewers win 2 out of 3. Their offense gets going. 15 runs the last 2 games. And Ricky Weeks had this to say after the game about the Cubs series. This from Kevin Holden. Cubs series matters for the hoopla, but we're a month in. 5 months to go. We want to win, but I don't want to put too much in the series. I think that, you know, it's interesting he said that. I think it's what you have to say. It's very coach speak. Ricky Weeks has it down. Why wouldn't he? But I don't know if I buy it, Mitch. I think that for a group of guys that have been there for a while, I think this matters to them just as much as it matters to us. Do you think that's me just being a chesty meatball fan, or do you think there's actually some merit in that?
I mean, he's not wrong in that it's early in the season, and it doesn't, you know, potentially mean as much as a series would in August or September if it's close in the standings. But I do think that, yeah, it's the first crack at council, and both teams are off to a pretty damn good start. Except the Cubs can't really win on the road. Well, they're 500 on the road, I guess.
And I think they won tonight. We missed Shota. Yeah, they won 1-0. Shota, dude, is so good. He had seven innings tonight, three hits, no runs, seven strikeouts. His ERA is 0.78 right now. And apparently the Brewers were in on Shota per Bob Nightingale. Big time Danny Ainge energy with that.
It's Nightingale too, so take it with a grain of salt.
I did float that into the group chat because I knew the response, what I would get on the response. I know better. I've learned lessons.
I think it does mean a little. I mean, you'd like to send a message, right? I mean, you know, like Yelich, unfortunately, he's not, I don't know what the deal is with him, but
his back is, he's like taking at bats. I don't know if they would activate him. I mean, I think they would be, if he feels ready, I would imagine he wants to play in this series.
Well, it was a good 3 week run for Yelich, and now it's going to be back to scratch with him, unfortunately, for the rest of the season probably. But you know, I would, you know, he's kind of the, you know, he's been around for a while. He's the guy left from 2018. Mm-hmm. Probably the only one, I would think. Now, Will Woodruff is around, but not playing, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think Devin Williams was up by then, right? It was Devin's like the next generation. Yeah, he was drafted during that time.
Yeah, Devin Williams is probably 2021 came up.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So, you know, life comes at you fast, and you know, so really, it's the you know, Yelich is kind of the main, and he's been, you know, the kind of face of the franchise for a while,
right?
And you know, I would think that this series would mean something to him. Like, council bailed on us, and but even like Weeks, though, like I got to think that like Ricky Weeks, you know, managing, you know, he's, well, I would have never said this a year ago, but Ricky Weeks is every bit of a Milwaukee Brewers as Craig Council ever was. I mean, clearly, you know, that's a lot of, that's a lot of damage to Council's reputation.
Absolutely.
You know, what the movie pulled, and Ricky Weeks is, you know, was a solid Brewer, and was like a one-time all-star and had a couple good seasons, and now he's on the coaching staff and is kind of, you know, in a way, an emotional, or, you know, as he should be, he's a coach, you know, a leader in the, and he played with Council. So,
right.
I mean, I got to think that, you know, it's going to mean a little more to him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that there will be at least a bit of a talk of, you know, after this week where you get into a fight, don't let your emotions get the best of them. The crowds are going to be rowdy. They're going to, you know, weather's going to be decent. So you're going to make sure that you got to tune out the noise a little bit and don't let the noise get to you, and just play your game. Keep playing Brewer baseball. And I think that, yeah, this is an excellent opportunity for Milwaukee to send a message. You don't, you know, if you do lose 2 out of 3, okay. Like, it'd be nice. I know I'm going to be there, so selfish, I'd like to see him win on Friday, but it would be nice to win Friday. because then you at least get a win out of the way. You don't get swept, you know, and you take care of business. And it's not like the Cubs are throwing out murderer's row this weekend either. You got Hayden Wyshynski, who was a big prospect, going on Friday. You have Jameson Taillon, who's been a big disappointment for them. The Brewers have hit up pretty well on Saturday. And you have Javier Assad, who's been pretty good this year, going on Sunday. So, like, that's not, you know, you don't face Amaja, and their bullpen has been shaky. And that's, you can get to this bullpen, and they've had some bullpen losses, and it's just a matter of can you do it? And they are 10-3 at home, but you look at who they've played at home. They play the Astros, who are terrible this year so far. Miami, they did beat 2 out of 3 to Los Angeles, to the Dodgers, credit to them, but they also played Colorado. So it's like you've played some of the bottom feeders in the league. So I don't know if I'm like, oh, Wrigley is this house. This just, it's impossible to win there. It's a little bit rooted in fraudulence.
And they won on a bullshit call at the end of the game here, I see, against the Mets.
Oh,
did they?
Oh, so the umpires.
Yeah. Alonso, on a sack fly, Pete Alonso was trying to score in the bottom of the ninth. And the throw came in, and they ruled that the Cubs didn't block the plate, and Alonso was out. I don't even know if he was out in general. Wow. I'm just watching the highlight. So, yeah, kind of got lucky to come out with that one. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that Cubs is.
Are,
yeah, we'll
they
see,
are,
man.
Are what they are.
It's going to be – it'll be interesting to see if anything gets chesty between the two teams. I mean, they played a lot of good baseball games last year. Like, all the Brewers-Cubs games were the Martin Scorsese, like, this is cinema meme. Like, it was – they were great games last year. Just absolute barn burners the entire way through. And so we'll see if it's again. They have a lot of guys hitting the ball well. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it should be a fun weekend. I'm excited for it. Excited to see what the Brewers can do on a little bit of a big stage. It's kind of a crime that this isn't the Sunday night baseball game for ESPN. I know, you know, it's not council at Miller at American Family Field, but I feel like those are the type of games, like, if Sunday night baseball actually wants to be relevant, like, that's the type of shit that you should be putting on Sunday night. Not, I think it's Giants Phillies. Like, you know, come on. Like, who cares about Giants Phillies? No, is anyone getting fired up for Giants Phillies?
I mean, this is a whole nother, like, podcast.
Oh, I know. Topic. I won't go there. I won't. But baseball attendance way up. So, you know, the pitch clock's working, even though the purists hate the pitch clock, which is really funny.
Can we just, like, we just can't be happy. So, I mean, every sport has a problem except for the NFL, right? The NFL is perfect.
Oh, the NFL has problems. Like, we talk about the NFL problems all the time.
I know you're starting to realize it, but nobody else does. So, I mean,
thank you.
And I'm not like, this is not an NFL thing. I'm just saying, like, I'm so tired of listening to, like, national sports talk shows where, like, every, like, opening day of baseball comes and it's immediately the conversation turns into, how can we make baseball better? What is wrong with baseball? Do you like baseball? It's like, this is fucking low hanging fruit shit. Like, can we ever, like, talk about something in, like, a positive manner or, like, a productive manner? No, the answer is no.
Well, that's why I, you know, and I'm going to toot my own horn here, but this is why I love doing all the sports in Wisconsin. I don't want to just talk about the Packers. Like, there's so many people who just talk about the Packers. They do a great job. But I want to talk about everything because I don't think there's a lot of podcasts that do that. And I have been able to stay well informed, you know, and who knows, as life goes on, maybe that'll change. But right now I'm still as in tuned as ever. So yeah, I want to talk about it all. I don't want to just keep, you know, fucking that chicken and talking about, you know, football 17 different ways. We are going to move on to football, but, like, that's, yeah, let's, you know, I think let's champion baseball and let's, I think baseball, though, the last thing I'll say,
like,
is,
like, it's a regional sport. It's fine. Like,
they have to fix their blackout rules in the worst way possible. You know,
true.
The fact that, you know, Nashville, you know, a fan in Nashville can't watch the Atlanta Braves is fucking ridiculous. Like, that's just dumb. That shouldn't happen. Or I know that there's a section, I don't know where it is, it might be like Iowa, where
it's
like,
Iowa can't
yeah,
watch like any teams.
Oh, yeah. So it's like,
there's like
that's,
five, they can't watch like Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Twins, or Cardinals.
Right.
I think like they can't watch.
It's like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand why, like, no other league does it like that. You know, basketball doesn't do it like that. Football doesn't do it like that. Like, that's something that's very fixable. So I would like to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would help for sure.
Sorry, I got it. Leave it in there. Sorry about that to the people. Moving on to football, real quickly. The Green Bay Packers had the draft. The draft, I feel like, I don't like draft grades. Seems like people, the general consensus is people felt very good about the first 2 days. I think the third day, there were some questions, but look, it's the third day. I think you want to take some risks. And, you know, Packers not going after wide receiver was a little interesting. But the sort of expectations now of this Green Bay team, I don't think it's changed per se for me. I think I've always looked at this team as a top three to top five team in the NFC. But I look at it and it's a pretty damn talented roster. And I hope that they're ready to meet these expectations, because that's a lot for a young team, especially that first year of having legitimate expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think expectations really change, you know, or have changed with the draft with the Packers. I mean, it was a very similar draft to last year, I thought, in that you plugged your holes with volume picks, as they say. You threw resources at weak points in your roster, and mm-hmm. you're going to try to see who emerges and what sticks with those picks. And, you know, yeah, they didn't go for a receiver. I guess, you know, we talked last week about, you know, would it surprise you? And both of us said, no, it wouldn't. And it turns out they didn't go that way. And I guess I'm not that surprised, just because it isn't necessarily a position of priority. You've got four capable receivers as it is, mm-hmm. you know, as
right.
And then some potentially, you know, pending Bo Melton and some of the
Billy
deeper
Keith.
Cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's, you know, six on the roster now, that, you know, and there will be injuries, of course, unfortunately, but, and, you know, chief among them is Christian Watson, but I feel like that's something that could be addressed down the road and wasn't exactly the most pressing need. But I mean, overall, I think they did a fine job. Like you said, day three might have been a little, but those are kind of dartboard throws.
Day three.
I mean, you want to get, maybe if you get like one of the last, you know, one of those day three picks to contribute in any meaningful way, I think you're thrilled. Or, I mean, you know, I would expect maybe one of them to contribute. Like Carl Brooks was a late round pick
right.
last year, wasn't he?
Right.
And
yeah, he was
he
a
turned
rounder.
Out to be, yeah, he turned out to be good. And, you know, if you can hit on like one of those guys and have them be a contributor immediately, you're doing well. Now, I think they had five picks in the top 100. And for the most part, it seems like it's almost unanimous that those are solid picks. I know it wasn't every, you know, they weren't what everybody wanted, right? They never are with the Packers. I mean, the Packers are never going to do the sexy thing. They're never going to, that's just the way they operate. And the Vikings and the Bears do, or tend to, because they tend to have higher picks, but also like,
right,
they are potentially a little more, I guess you could say, aggressive, or just, you know, desperate might be the word with those two franchises in particular. They're desperate to beat the Packers and overtake them, especially the Bears at this point. And, you know, so yeah, the Packers, nothing sexy, but I think you're going to, you know, you're going to have contributors and guys that I think that are going to plug right in, you know, especially those top 100 guys
yeah,
that they took.
I think, yeah, a few things there. I think First of all, I actually think the Vikings had a more desperate draft. Like, all the draft capital they gave up to, like, move around. Like, Kwesi was desperate. And then the reports come out that, like, they were willing to sell the farm to get Drake May. Even though they have contended, oh, we're totally happy with J.J. McCarthy. It's like they wanted Drake May back. And Elliott Wolf, Packer for life, didn't trade him to the Vikings, you know, didn't trade him away. Deserves some credit there. And but also, like, it's, yeah, they did their job. They took care of business and got the positions of need. You know, Marshawn Lloyd, I took a little heat on TikTok where I was like, I called him an Aaron Jones replacement, and he doesn't exactly fit the Aaron Jones mold. But the point was, it's like, he is a shorter, stocky running back that you kind of needed to complement Josh Jacobs. And if all things work out, he's the running back of the future. And if he isn't, you go back again in the draft and you just draft again. I think you'll learn from your A.J. Dillon mistake and you'll kind of go from there. And they didn't reach for a running back. It didn't feel like they were like, oh, we prioritize that over, you know, getting Javon Bullard or getting Edgerrin Cooper. I was a little off on Edgerrin Cooper only because I felt like he was too skinny. But I, you know, watching clips and watching tape, and he does, like, go sideline to sideline. And I don't know how many times we've talked about having linebackers that can go sideline to sideline. And now you have two with him and Quay Walker. And that immediately gets you excited about what this Packers defense could be.
Is it really, like, a huge problem if there's a linebacker that's a little wiry than, like, your traditional, like, in this day and age?
I remember that Cowboy, you know, us against the Cowboys, like, the Cowboys have a bunch of skinny linebackers and they couldn't handle it, right? They couldn't, they couldn't deal with it. I think if you have one, you're probably right. I probably am overreacting, like I do at times. And so it probably will be okay.
Like he's pretty decent, like in one-on-one situations, and also, like, having an eye on the quarterback. You know?
Yeah, he did a lot of quarterback spying in college, which I liked, you know, even though I had my reservations about his size. And the fact that, yeah, he spied a lot of quarterbacks, that's massive for, you know, Caleb Williams, for you're playing Jalen Hurts this year, you're playing C.J. Stroud this year, like, you're playing guys, C.J. doesn't run as much, but, like, you're playing guys that run the football a little bit, and you have a guy that can kind of, we shouldn't get our lunch eaten by running quarterbacks anymore. Like, that should be a thing of the past with, you know, some physical ass dudes at the linebacker position. But I think, you know, we're at the point now, I think somebody tweeted at Nagler, like, oh, we could have a top five defense. And Nagler was like responding with some gif, like, we're not doing it. Like, I'm not saying anything. Like, I'm going to try to not drink the Kool-Aid about the Packer defense until, like, week three. But I probably will at some point and talk out of my neck, because that's what I do.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, we'll see. I like the picks, and obviously free agency was
I think a
home run. So yeah, let's hope.
And you had Jair Alexander showing up to, you know, offseason, you know, optional workouts, and I think other guys were there. Like, I think they're all in. I think they are all in on this season. I think they are a very talented team. I think we're going to get the schedule, I think, next Thursday. The schedule comes out. So we'll see kind of what it all transpires and how it looks, which is always a fun way to break that down. And I always love people, you know, calling in. Now that Sparky has a show, we'll get callers in at 12:50. Like, well, I don't know. Going to go. Well, that only looks like 9 wins to me. I don't know, Sparky. But that's a time honored tradition.
Well, yeah, 11-6 is the new 10-6. So.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no one. Or 10-7 now. I mean, you want to be negative and say 10-7.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, 10-7. Yeah, you're a negative Nancy for sure. With 10-7. Anything else for the people?
I think that's a podcast right there. That's,
you bet, covered that's a lot. An episode. I will say my only last thing is I had the Viking funeral is going on for the Heat. I had the Kings or the Knights Stars game on, What an electric atmosphere in Dallas. I mean, Jesus, it was looked awesome in there. Like
I
everybody
mean,
was wearing green.
they have a great NBA crowd too, so.
I know. Dallas, I mean, I feel like the pivot would be to just go all in with either the Stars or the Mavericks and not let the Cowboys break your heart. If I was a Dallas fan. But I don't think there's a way around it because you just football's life, right? Like, you know,
Right, yeah, I mean it's
that's just how it goes. Like you, they mean likely you're either a Texas or a Texas A&M fan, mostly Texas because that Dallas is closer to Austin. So you could deal with that bullshit. Then you have to deal with being a Cowboys fan, and the Stars have brought you. The Stars won a cup. I think they did.
like I think in the early two
The Mike
thousands.
Modano years. Oh yeah, they beat Buffalo, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I don't really I don't really get deep into hockey until like right now where it's like there's a good series. Then I'll kind of keep it on if I need something. But yeah, I can see myself entering the Dallas bandwagon. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't really like their uniforms that much.
Yeah,
The
their
old
uniforms.
ones are a lot better.
Yeah, they're a little too like Seattle Seahawks-y for me. I think that's a fair take.
It's like a
But yeah.
weird like Kelly green, and I feel like they're just the dark green and like the gold was great.
Yeah, I think we'll have a, you know, I next week, I don't know if I'll do it solo or not. We'll have to have a conversation about the Timberwolves because it's like, I don't know if it's like you can cheer for the Timberwolves because a lot of those people are Vikings fans too, but they are very fun. I like Anthony Edwards a lot, but I don't know. So, you know, you're rowing in the same boat as Vikings fans.
Yeah, I mean it's I know that's a lot to ask. I
Yes,
mean
I don't know.
I try to remain as neutral as possible on the Timberwolves. I'm not gonna
Yeah.
like hate them because they're not in our conference, but like I don't really hate any Western Conference teams per se.
I kind
I
of hate
mean
Denver.
yeah.
I just get annoyed at just the
Well, yeah,
over, yeah, just
there's this
the,
complete
oh,
unanimous approval rating
just
is
like
pretty.
on our knees, like put your hair up and just suck Jokic off every fucking day. It's like, oh my God, Jokic made a touch pass. It's like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I'm like, I mean, it was cool, but it's not, like, I've seen Giannis
Well,
do this.
he's pretty much treated like Patrick Mahomes. Like
I
it's where it's
know.
he's just completely untouchable.
Because he's
And
just a
he
fat white guy. Like, that's it. That's the whole reason. But whatever. We don't need to get into it. A guy is doing the anthem from the stands in Edmonton. That's awesome. Gotta think there's a lot of Molson's been had in that crowd. All
Oh,
right.
yeah.
We should go. Good luck with your shows. You'll kill it, dude. And
Appreciate it.
we'll talk to you after you're a road warrior, and hopefully we're talking about the second round. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully I come back in one piece.
Yep, you bet, buddy. All right, take care, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow solo, live reaction to Game 6 and much more. Take care and have a good one. Bye.
Peace.